This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. Today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to do two sessions. So we're going to do session 3 and session 4 from Al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, faith or belief in the last day. Actually, we're doing Al-Iman bil-Akhirah, which is belief in the hereafter. What's the difference between belief in the hereafter and belief in the last day? What's the difference between the two? Fadha. So the last day is more specific. It's an event. An event might be a bit, okay. It happens in the hereafter, but it's not the entire hereafter. Tayyip, so what's the difference? Can I need a little more? Nadir.
The hereafter is the life of the Balazan, and the last day is the judgment we stand upon
the law. Okay, well, judgment happens on the last day. It's not the only thing that happens. And the last day, because the last day, so the hereafter, therefore, is, what do we say was the definition of belief in the hereafter? Father Akil.
Hereafter is the current state of existence that exists with the
Okay. Right, al-yawm al-akhir is an occurrence that happens in the hereafter. But what do we say is belief in the hereafter? It is belief in everything that happens after death. Everything that happens after death. So when a person dies, their hereafter, that person's hereafter, begins. And that's the meaning of the statement of many of the scholars, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. When a person dies, his qiyamah has begun, which is different from the last day or Yawm al-Qiyamah, which starts when? Yes. When the horn is blown the first time. When the horn is blown the first time. And so let's quickly recap what we've covered so far. So we've covered death. And then what happens after death? That period is called the barzakh. From the time a person dies until they're resurrected. That period for them is called the barzakh. Okay? And in the barzakh, the first part of that is that a person's soul is obviously removed from their body. If they are a good soul, then they will have a certain pattern or path that it takes, and a good soul is comes out the body like a drop of water comes out of a vessel, and the evil soul is ripped out of the body. We talked about the grave and a person being asked. There's the fitna of the grave, and fitna means what? Sorry, the test or the trial. So fitna doesn't necessarily mean that it's something bad in this case. Fitna just means that they are being asked by the angels. Okay? And then they will either have a grave that is spacious, they will find their good deeds in front of them, they will see their place in Jannah, and they will be asking Allah, "Oh Allah, establish the sa'a, aqim as-sa'a. Establish the hour," because they want to go. They want to go to where they're seeing from the pleasure of Jannah. And for those who are not good souls, if we will, to use that terminology, then they will be punished in the grave according to their deeds. And what do we say is the cause of punishment in the grave? General and specific. What is the general reason? Yes. Not necessarily disbelief in Allah. That person might be punished, and they're a believer, and they're Muslim. Go ahead, Tariq. طيب. What did Ibn al-Qayyim say? Because he summed it up very well. He mentioned three things. The first was al-jahlu bil-Rabbi, being ignorant about Allah, not knowing Allah. And subhanAllah, and on that topic, there's a natural knowledge that people have about their Creator. That is not enough to make them believers. That is not enough to consider a person to be a believer. So most of the people know that they have a Creator. That doesn't mean that most of the people are believers. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet. And most of the people, even if you're diligent in trying to call them to Islam, will not be believers. They won't be believers. It doesn't mean that they don't believe that there is a Creator, okay? Because that is natural. That's from a person's fitrah, right? But that's not enough to be considered knowledgeable of Allah. Nor does that give you the type of love that makes you pursue devoting your life to the Creator. It's the same way, subhanAllah, a person who's young and is adopted, and they know they're adopted, don't they still have a connection to their biological, even if they don't know, they want to know. There's like an affinity that's just natural because that's their biological, that's fitrah, subhanAllah, right? But that's not enough to make them really, what's wrong? You all right? That's not enough to make them really love this person the way that someone who was raised by their parents loves their parents. You see the difference? So there's a difference now when a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he studies his revelation. Because he wants to learn more about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Alright? So al-jahlu billah, yani being ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not fulfilling his commands and approaching his prohibitions. All of this, these are the three things that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned are part of what a person would be or is the general reasons why a person would be punished in their graves. All right. Now, we're going to move on to this. Okay, so we talked about the barzakh and then what happens based off of what we covered. The horn is blown the first time. What happens when the horn is blown the first time? Yes. Right. So everybody that is on earth and everything in the heavens, yusaq, yani falls unconscious. Okay? And this is what happens when the first trumpet, first horn is blown. And then there's a period. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a rain, if you will, and it causes the people to grow back, just like vegetation grows. The horn is blown the second time, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And at that point, they will stand up, just they are resurrected at this point. So this is when the horn is blown for the second time. They're resurrected. And this is when the ba'ath, this is al-ba'ath, resurrection. And then what happens after the resurrection? Now, for 40 years? The 40 is between the two blowings of the horn. And we don't know what that is. 40 what? We don't know. And even if we did know, the hereafter is not comparable to the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described yawman, yani in the hereafter, that a day, miqdaruhu khamsina alfa sana. Its measure is like that of 50,000 years. So even if we knew it was 40 days, 40, it wouldn't be comparable to something that we understand anyway, or that we could put a precise measurement on. So it's 40. But that's between the two times that the horn is blown. Once the horn is blown a second time and people are resurrected, what happens? They're gathered together. Right. في أرض المحشر, يعني in the place of gathering. And they're being gathered for what purpose? Huh? To right, for the account. And that's what we're going to cover today, inshallah ta'ala. So today, to give you a quick outline of what we're going to cover. We're going to recap some things related to the al-hashr, which is the gathering. So that's where we're going to start. Then we're going to go into the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. From there, we're going to talk about the scrolls or the books, your book, the scrolls. Then we'll talk about the reckoning, al-hisab, and we'll talk about al-mizan, the balance or the scale. Okay, why are we going to start with the intercession before we talk about reckoning? Right. Right. So that's because there won't be any account until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes. So we'll get to that point, inshallah ta'ala. If you consider, inshallah, what I'd like to do, I came across a very important statement of one of the scholars, famous scholars, named Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a companion of Sufyan al-Thawri. He was known as being Ibrahim bin Adham, who died in the year 162, was born around 100, the year 100 after the hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was well known for his zuhd. And so a lot of the latter Sufi tariqas, yani, they hold him in very high esteem. And on that point, and so they'll say, for example, that he was from the greatest Sufis of the past. But that terminology was not very common at that particular time anyway. And the early form of tasawwuf, if you will, was not what it became later. So it wasn't to the point that, I mean, a lot of times when you think of tasawwuf today, you wouldn't imagine tasawwuf without there being a leader of the organization or tariqah that a person is following, whether it's Tijaniyya or Naqshbandiyya or whatever it might be. So that wasn't the case. So what they were calling tasawwuf in the earlier days was more what we would refer to as tazkiyah. I mean, that is a person trying to purify themselves and draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from worldly things. Anyway, that's beside the point. If you look in his biography, you'll see some of them calling him a Sufi. So I was just trying to clarify that was not the same way that, and again, I mean, there's different strains, so it's very difficult to even attach. I mean, if someone says, well, is Sufism okay, what do you mean? And that's why, subhanAllah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, أَكْثَرُ إِخْتِلَافُ الْعُقَلَى فِي الْإِشْتِرَاقِ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ بِالْإِشْتِرَاقِ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ. And most of the reason why sensible people differ is because they're using equivocal terminology. So it means one thing to you and it means another thing to me, and we're arguing about it. But if we left the terminology behind and we just talked about the facts themselves, and we'd actually find that we're on the same page. Tayyib. I don't know how we got on that point, but anyway. Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, he says something that's very pertinent, even though it's a totally different topic, but it's very pertinent to what we're covering in this topic of belief in the hereafter. He was asked, rahimahullah, مَا بَالُنَا نَدْعُوا فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَنَا. Why is it that we make dua, but our dua is not accepted? Just hold this. So he says, rahimahullah, and I want you to just put the points down as we go. He said, لِأَنَّكُمْ عَرَفْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَلَمْ تُطِيعُوا. Number one, because you know Allah, or you knew Allah, and you didn't obey Him. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَمْ تَتَّبِعُوا سُنَّتَهُ. And you knew the Prophet, but you did not follow his sunnah. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. And you know the Quran, but you didn't act according to your knowledge of the Quran. You didn't act according to the Quran. Which number are we on now? Number four. This is number four. وَأَكَلْتُمْ نِعَمَ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ تُؤَدُّوا شُكْرَهَا. And you consumed the favors of Allah, but you did not show gratitude for them. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On that day, the fire will be put in front of you, and you will be asked about your na'im, that bliss that you lived in, as some of the early scholars, even some of the Sahaba said, حَتَّى الْمَاءِ الْبَارِدِ. And you'll be asked about a cold cup of water, which is a dalil against those who drink room temperature water. Nah. Oh yeah, that is you, right, Shaq? Nah. No, I'm not mad at that, seriously. That's وَأَكَلْتُمْ نِعْمَ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ تُؤَدُّوا شُكْرَهَا. You ate or you consumed the blessings of Allah, but you did not show gratitude for those blessings. Now, here's the part directly related to the hereafter. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَمْ تَطْلُبُوهَا. And you knew about Jannah, but you didn't seek it. You didn't seek it. You know what Jannah is, but that you didn't go out in search of it. You didn't prepare. You didn't apply yourself. وَعَرَفْتُمُ النَّارَ فَلَمْ تَهْرُبُوا مِنْهَا. You knew about the fire, but you didn't run away from it. In fact, you knew these things lead to the fire. You still insisted on doing them. And you want your dua to be accepted. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ فَلَمْ تُحَارِبُوهُ وَأَفَقْتُمُوهُ. And you knew the shaitan, but you didn't take him as an enemy. You didn't go to war with him. In fact, you wafaqtumu. You took him as a, and you agreed with him. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الْمَوْتَ فَلَمْ تَسْتَعِدُّوا لَهُ. And you knew about death, but you didn't prepare for it. وَدَفَنْتُمُ الْأَمْوَاتَ فَلَمْ تَعْتَبِرُوا. And you buried the dead, but did not take heed. وَتَرَقْتُمْ عُيُوبَكُمْ وَاشْتَغَلْتُمْ بِعُيُوبِ النَّاسِ. And you left your own faults so that you could busy yourself, preoccupy yourself with the faults of the people. Nah. Mubes. How many things did he mention there? 10. SubhanAllah. That is very worthy of just contemplating, subhanAllah. And you know, sometimes we sit back and we wonder why Allah isn't accepting our dua. When he was asked, this is what he said. But look at how much of this directly relates to belief in the hereafter and really striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nah. Tayyip. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're gonna start by just talking about some important things related to the mahshar, which is the place of gathering. And that is because not everybody will be in the same position, if you will, when they're gathered. And I think that we can establish some principles here when we start talking about the land of gathering, so that we understand that we don't make qiyas for the hereafter to the dunya. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that there is nothing in the hereafter that resembles the dunya except for asma, except for the names of things. Okay? So the names may be the same. This is a river, that's a river. But that river doesn't have water. It's leban, lam yataghayyar ta'mu. And it's milk that doesn't, that's never changes, never sours, never spoils. Rivers of honey. So we can understand, we can picture that, but that's not like any river that we know in this dunya. Right? So the names remain the same, and they allow us to get an idea, yani to conceive, to have some type of conception of what happens in the hereafter, but not that we can actually fully grasp its reality. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact, Allah azza wa jalla says, نزلزلت الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the very beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, he's talking about fearing the shake, that zalzala, the convulsion of the earth or that the land at that time. And then he says, on that day you will see every woman who is breastfeeding, she'll forget about the one that she is breastfeeding, she'll forget about her child. And every woman that was pregnant will what? Drop the load. And you will see people as if they are drunk, but they're not drunk. They look intoxicated. But the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. Now, okay. How do we understand that? Now this is why I want you to process this. There are pregnant women on Yawm al-Qiyamah? How'd that happen? How do people get pregnant? Okay. So what's going on? How do we have pregnant women? Women breastfeeding. They were pregnant when they died. Now, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that a person will yubath, or in general, a person will be raised in the state in which they die. Now again, this has a lot of detail that can't be covered in this type of class. But inshallah, next time we cover it hereafter, we'll be able to go into a little bit more detail about these things. But just keep this in mind. So in general, and this is some of the interpretation that the scholars have given, is that the woman who is pregnant on that day is because she died pregnant. She's breastfeeding on that day is because she died in that state. I mean, not necessarily that she died while breastfeeding, but she died while she was able to breastfeed. That works. All right. So there will be people who come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as the Prophet ﷺ described, and they will not have any meat on their faces. Why is that? Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma yazalu rajulu." يسأل الناس حتى يأتي يوم القيامة ليس في وجهه مزعة لحم. يعني in this hadith collected by Imam Muslim, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said a person will continue to ask people, hey, can you give me this? Can I get $5? Can I continue to ask? And they don't need it until he comes on the day of judgment and he has no meat on his face. What's the significance? What's the significance?
He had no face on the day. He lost his face and honor.
Right. Because he lost his honor. When a person loses their honor, it's like they lost their face.
They lose face.
They lose face. Right. So they'll come because that's not honorable to go around and just ask people all the time. And that shouldn't become a habit of any believer. Even if you do need something, it should not become the habit of the believer to ask other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Well, you need something, ask Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما, so that a person avoids that. And he come into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Some people will be raised, and they'll be doing the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, because they died in the state of ihram. Right? So these are things to keep in mind. Now, we also talked about the sun coming close, and that's in several hadith. The hadith of al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, who said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Tudna al-shamsu yawm al-qiyamah min al-khalqi hatta takuna minhum kamiqdari al-meel." So he said that the sun will come close on the day of judgment. This hadith is Sahih Muslim. The sun will come close on the day of judgment until it will be about a meal away. Now, the meal is two. The narrator of the hadith, sub-narrator, he said, I don't know whether he was talking about the distance of a mile or whether he was talking about the thing that you use to put kuhl on your eyes. That close. That they call it also a meal. What do they call it in English? I mean, I know the sisters would know. Yeah, like a mascara brush or something. The eyeliner brush. Yeah, there you go. There you go. MashaAllah. So the idea is that it will come that close. So then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went on to say, فَيَكُونَ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ فِي الْعَرَقِ. So people will be according, the sweat will come according to their deeds. Yani, the more good deeds that you have, the lower the perspiration will be. Now, let's picture this. This means that you could have a person who's standing next to a person. This person is drowning. Yani, the sweat is up to his, covering his mouth, up to half of his ears. The Prophet ﷺ says, we'll see. It's hadith. And another person is down at his ankles, and they're standing right next to each other. That doesn't work in the dunya. That doesn't work here. If we're standing in the same pool, the water is going to be the same height, right? So what does that mean? Does it mean that the believer is going to be, their actions are going to make them taller on that day? Wow. I don't know how that just happened. Oh. Does this one work? We'll use this one. Okay, so does that mean that the believer is going to be like super tall on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the water is going to be all at the same height and the calf is going to get smaller? I mean, the Prophet didn't say that. He said that some people will have, it'll be up to their ankles, some people. So we only know what the Prophet ﷺ, we only know what he told us. And these are the affairs of the unseen. So we can't go in and try to make dunya rational sense of something that we can't understand. Because, take this one. Okay. And that's because, let's look at the first point. Why are the people, according to this hadith, why are the people sweating profusely anyway? Because the sun is that close. If the sun came that close, if the sun moved like almost anything closer to the earth right now, what would happen? It would scorch us. Life on earth would cease to exist. Right? So trying to understand it from a dunya context or make exact measurements of the dunya is just not going to work. And this is the part where, and this is the part where we say what? Amanna billah. We believe in Allah. Wa la yathbutu al-Islam illa ala qadamin min at-taslim. Islam will only be able to stand on a foot of submission. Meaning what? That you submit your own intellect to the text, right? And this stuff is not impossible. I mean, it's wallahi. And when you look beyond what they call the study of quantum physics, for example, you look beyond dimensions, the three that we, I mean, they'll tell you about all types of stuff that they know about, that for most people it would just be like, what? Like, we can't fathom that. Because you're dealing with like totally different dimensions, if you will. And so when it comes to the hereafter, it's not like the dunya. And that's the point here. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, فَيَكُونُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ فِي الْعَرَقِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ إِلَىٰ كَعْبَيْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ إِلَىٰ حَقْوَتَيْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُلْجِمُهُ الْعَرَقُ الْجَامَى قَالَ وَأَشَارَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِهِ لَا فِيهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, so people will be in perspiration according to their deeds. So some of them, the perspiration will be to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their hips, and others, it will be as if they are bridled with the water. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then pointed to his mouth. And the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, يَعْرَقُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يَذْهَبْ عَرَقُهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ سَبَعِينَ ذِرَاعًا وَيُلْجِمُهُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أُذُنَاهُمْ أَوْ آذَانَهُمْ. So he says that the people will sweat profusely, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the people will sweat profusely on the day of judgment until the sweat will sink into the earth 70 cubits into the earth. And then it'll start to come up and it'll rise up until it reaches people's mouths and ears. All right. So that being the case, and this study, as we said before, is not knowledge for the sake of knowledge, which is not a bad thing, by the way. To know is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Seeking knowledge is a good thing, no matter what. But what we want to do is know so that we can act, so that we can do something. So the fact that we know that this sun is coming near and that people will be sweating and that some will be saved because of their deeds, then we should be looking for shade on that day. Because the Ard al-Mahshar, the land of gathering, as we explained before, is what? It's a plain with no landmarks. With no landmarks. So there's no mountains or trees or anything that's going to provide shade. The only shade on that day is the shade of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His throne. And so there are certain deeds that a person can do to gain the shade of Allah on that day. Does anybody know a hadith that talks about being shaded on the day of judgment? Now,
Muslim probably meeting one for the sake of Allah, and even
spiritual. Jazakallah khair. That's very, I'm actually glad that you mentioned that one, because most people won't go to that one. I'll mention that. I'll mention what he said in a minute, inshallah. He talked about two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Type anything else? Nah.
Those who take advantage of the five things, time before
busy. I don't know that hadith has any part where it says that they'll be shaded by Allah. A person that spends his time in the masjid, a person whose heart is attached. In fact, he says mu'allaq and not muta'allaq, which is different. Mu'allaq means to be what? To hanging. His heart is hanging in the masjid. What's that mean? Yani, that even when he's outside of the masjid, his heart is still at the masjid. He wants to be back in the masjid. It's a little different. I mean, yeah, it does mean, I mean, you know, we do say connected to the masjid, but that, so that is a part of a very famous hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سَبَعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ, that there are seven whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade, in His shade, on the day when there is no shade except for His shade. Now, there are other narrations that clarify that and that specify what does it mean, His shade. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and like I said, in the other narrations, it says, "Fi dhilli arshihi," in the shade of his throne, in the shade of his arsh. Okay? So we're not talking about any shade. And then, you know, some of the scholars go a little further and they delve into things that I personally think is better for us to avoid. Right? But I'm going to mention it just for the sake of the fact that some of the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah mention it. And they say that it would be impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself to have shade, because that would mean that the sun is above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's nothing above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, even going down that road is not a comfortable place to go, because we only know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he told us about himself. We affirm what he affirms for himself, and we negate what he negates for himself, and we don't go into how that would be. We don't even understand how things are going to be for the creation. How is the sun going to come that close and people don't melt or vanish? We don't know. How is this person going to be standing next to this person and the perspiration is up to his ankles and this one's perspiration is up to his ears and they're standing? We don't know. And that's the creation. So what about the creator of the creation? That's not a place that we really should go with our intellects. We affirm what Allah said about himself. But in this particular case, these ahadith, there are several other ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ talked about the shade of the arsh. And that one explains that one. So, if we look at these seven qualities, the first one is a just ruler. And I'm just going to go through them very quickly, because not everyone will apply to you. A just ruler. A youth who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَابٌ نَشَى فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. A man, a person whose heart is hung up in the, whose heart is hanging in the masajid. So even when he leaves the masjid, his whole idea is that he wants to get back to the masjid. Even if salat for him may not be wajiba in the masjid. For some people it is. For some people it is an obligation for them to pray in the masjid. And for some people it may not be. But even if that's not his case, he still wants to be in the masjid. And there's no doubt that praying in the masjid is better. And that is 25 to 27 times better than praying in one's home. Tayyib. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ يَجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. And two men, two people who love each other for Allah, they come together for the pleasure of Allah, and they separate for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُمْ رَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A man who is invited to an illicit relationship with a woman who has two qualities. She's what? Beautiful and what? And she has status. She's a woman of beauty and status. Both qualities, because her status most of the time is going to mean that you are not going to get into any trouble. She has the ability to, even if you, to cover it up. Even though, so she's not just beautiful. And she doesn't just have status. She has both. Which is more attractive to men most of the time. And he says, "Inni akhafullah." Now, again, this is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shades. It doesn't mean that we should want to be this person. You should not put yourself in a position where you are subject to fitna, that kind of trial. But if it happens, and you say, "Inni akhafullah," you know, get away. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Yusuf, alayhi salam. Then this person will be shaded in the shade of Allah. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. And a person who gives charity and makes it so discreet that his right hand, that his left hand doesn't even know what his right hand has given. That's how discreet it is. And رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. And a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he's by himself, and his eyes shed tears. Not in front of the people, not because the imam is making dua and he's crying and you start crying because he was crying. Or the person next to you in salat was crying and it just triggered your emotions. No, a person who remembered Allah by himself. Fafadat aina. And so he cried. Maybe he cried for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of something he's done. Maybe he cried because he knows that he can't repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of his favors. And he feels guilty.
Maybe he cried because he was so grateful.
Because he was so grateful, perhaps he cried. So these seven people are shaded in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day when there is no shade except for the shade of his arsh. And what quality would you say is the common denominator between all of them? Think about it. Yes?
They all persevered in difficult circumstances.
They all persevered in difficult circumstances. So some of the scholars of Islam mentioned that al-jami' al-khasla al-jami'ah, or the quality that is shared by all of them is sabr. That perseverance in difficult circumstances. And they mention along with that al-ikhlas. Because you will not have patience through those circumstances without having ikhlas, without it being sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that certainty of that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تُنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. And it is with sabr and certainty that you will achieve imama, that you will be on the status of the imams of the deen. A lot more could be said about that. Wallahu al musta'an. Tayyib.
And then the phrase that you just used, that comes from the text,
بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تُنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. That's a statement of, that Ibn Qayyim attributes to Shaykh al-Islam and Taymiyyah. And it comes from the ayah, Surah At-Sajdah. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. طيب. So there are other qualities, I'm just going to mention one, just so that you can be aware. These seven are not the only ones who are shaded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And in fact, I didn't bring the book, but there are several books. In fact, there's a 2-volume book written by a contemporary scholar, 2-volume book on those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shades on the day when there is no shade except for his shade. And Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also mentions about 14 other qualities. Not all of them have authentic ahadith, but yani the point is that there are several other. Take this one from Sahih and Muslim, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man anzara mu'sira aw wada'a an adallahu Allahu fi dhillihi." Whoever grants more time to someone who is going through a financial difficulty. He lent someone money. He said, pay me back in 2 months. And he gives him 4 months, 6 months. Or he relieves him of that burden. Just don't even worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. أَظَلَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade him on يوم القيامة. And then there are other things that you may find. These deeds, you will be in the shade of those deeds. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, mentioned that the believer is fi dhilli sadaqatihi yawm al-qiyamah, that he will be in the shade of his sadaqah on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, read frequently Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, because they will come as intercessors on your behalf on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will come like clouds shading you on the Day of Judgment. So anyway, Yani, this is a beautiful study, subhanAllah. And again, this is to learn for the sake of knowledge is not necessarily a bad thing. But to learn so that we can put something into practice. Like we remember that, okay, today, subhanAllah, I want to make sure that I give charity every day. If it's $1 a day, it's not, but I want to get used to that habit of giving charity because I want to be in the shade of my sadaqah. Maybe you don't have $1 to give every day, but you can start reading Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran from today. And that becomes part of your practice so that you can be shaded on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. That you find somebody that you love and you just visit them for Allah. You come together with them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe you come and you just meet them in the masjid. And you discuss something with them beneficial and you leave on that note and you've done it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is, look for those qualities that will help you be shaded on the day when the sun will come near and people will perspire up until, perspiration will be up until their ankles, their knees, their hips, their mouths, their ears. So the idea is that, and we take this knowledge that we get and we put it into practice to the best of our ability. The people at this point, as you can see, and we've talked about a lot that's going on. Like we said, people will appear to be intoxicated and they won't really be intoxicated. And a lot is going on and they will be waiting for a very long time. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, we should recognize that there are stages and stations, if you will. You know, people are going from place to place and things are happening and things happen at different times. And as the people wait for this very long time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran, 50,000 years. The people will get to a point where they say, do you not see this condition that we're in? Find somebody that can intercede on our behalf with Rabbil Alameen. Somebody that can go to Allah and just establish the sa'ah, or establish the hisab, excuse me. Let the reckoning begin. Let the judgment begin. Let us face whatever we have to face. I'm tired of waiting. Like even the people, and what's apparent from the narrations is even the people who have been punished in their graves and have seen their place in the hellfire, even them, the wait is just so long that they just want the judgment to begin. And so the people will go to Adam alayhi salam, and Adam will say, and there are several ahadith, obviously we're not going to have enough time to go into, we're going to take a break shortly inshallah, but they'll go to Adam alayhi salam and he will say, this is not for me. Go to Ibrahim, and they'll go to Ibrahim, and Ibrahim will say, this is not for me. Go to Kalimullah Musa, he's the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, spoke directly to. Adam will say, go to Khalil al-Rahman, go to the friend of al-Rahman. Before, in many of the ahadith, they don't mention Nuh. And ahadith al-Shafa'ah fiha ishkalat bil-marrah. And it's stuff that needs to be really worked through, that we just don't have that kind of time. I would love to do it. And I think that a certain level of study will allow us to do that. But it is very important, and I, as I mentioned before, this is a 6-week, you know, course, if you will. And the important part for us in this course, in my mind, is to get a bird's eye view of what happens Yawm al-Qiyamah so that we can begin to better prepare for our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to do another study of this, and inshallah ta'ala. And that's going to be the next 10-week course that we cover starting in September, bi-idhnillah. And that's either going to be from At-Tahawiyyah, Sharh At-Tahawiyyah, by Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullah ta'ala, who goes into some detail in his explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, and is available in English. And so we're either going to go through that, or we're going to go through Sheikh Uthaymeen's explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah, which is similar in length. They approach it differently, and I haven't decided which one I think is better for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but I'll make istikhara on that when the time comes, inshallah, and we'll pick what, you know, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to, and we can go into a little bit more detail then. But the idea is, so they'll go to Adam, alayhi salam, and Adam will say, go to Khalil al-Rahman, it's not for me. They'll go to Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman, and he's going to say, go to Kalimullah, Musa, it's not for me. And they'll go to Musa, and Musa will say, go to Kalimatullah, Ruhullah wa Kalimatuhu, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's spirit that he created in his word, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa will say, it's not for me, go to the last of the seal of the prophets, alayhi wasalam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he will say, ana laha, ana laha. Yeah, this is for me. This is for me. And he will go to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fall in prostration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yaftah alayh, and yulhimuhu, yani he will inspire him with words of praise from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from his attributes that no one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that no one has said before that time. Right? Which is one of the proofs that the scholars used, as you know, when we talked about the names of Allah, that they are not restricted to 99. This is one of those proofs, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will begin to praise Allah with those names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one prior to that time, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, has not praised Allah with those forms of praise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, lift up your head, because he is prostrating at this point. He'll tell him, lift up his head, and he will say, ask and you will be giving, you will be given, washfa' to shafa', and intercede, your intercession will be accepted. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or intercede on behalf of mankind, for the reckoning to begin. We're going to take a break here, bidnillahi ta'ala, for 5 minutes. And then we're going to come back and we'll start there. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.